Hey, everybody, it's Todd in a noisy area. Enjoy the show. We're also dropping a special episode this Monday with Mike Komen and the very enjoyable Dimitri Martin. Okay, so enjoy and then listen in again on Monday. All right, bye.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Okay.
A very funny guy, Todd Glass.
We already opened.
Yeah, hey Todd, it's Nick Swartzen calling again about doing your podcast.
The entertainer's entertainer, Todd Glass, everyone.
Todd, hey, it's Zach, El Zacker. Listen, man, I really want to come on the podcast. I've got stuff to promote.
Comedy Central presents Todd Glass.
Hello? Is that Jimmy Dore?
Again. Brian Regan, sir, just shut up.
You don't want me to do...
Is Jimmy Dore there?
Yeah. Just... I don't know.
Hello,
know
Jimmy
that.
Dore there?
Do you want me to beg?
Jimmy Dore?
Is that the way you work?
The best part of having a TV show is when your comedian friends pitch you an idea. No matter how absurd, you can immediately greenlight.
My glasses on the ratio.
From the beautiful Las Cienega Strip, high atop Black Horse Motors, it's the Todd Glass Show.
Ah, I feel like that's an abrupt ending. We're going to have to file the edges off of that so it fades in softly, but I like it. You doing good back there, Chris? I have to get a mirror so I can see you. Guess who's here today? Jimmy Dore, ladies and gentlemen, and round of applause. We're not too big at this show to make someone
Thank
feel
you.
Welcome. Remember when the scene was so like you were nervous at the alternative scene, what they called it? I was always afraid. Do I ask
for a credit? Give them a credit?
Yeah, you don't give them a credit.
That's the worst part. You work your whole career to get credits, and then you get them, and then they go, "Hey, we don't do credits here." What the fuck? So I look like any asshole coming up here? Okay. But
I would even be afraid to go. How about a hand for the last guy? I'm like, is that not right? Maybe that's not right.
You know what I felt weird? The thing that really got me at the alternative rooms was when I had to ask birthdays or anniversaries. That was weird.
Nope. Imagine if someone did that there. All right, so
anybody celebrating anything? Is this Tiger Lily?
Who's for no reason at all. That's how much you like asking. So here's what's going on today. Mike Komen, who you remember from a few shows ago, who caused quite a ruckus, is here today. He's sort of like co-hosting with me. And then we have this show with Jimmy Dore. And then we can say it. I'm always afraid, like, you know.
I'm glad that you and I could get together and do this show, just me, you, and 18 of your best friends. This is great.
I made you a special jingle.
Oh.
Now, the guy was a little, I think he's getting a little lazy, to be honest, the guy who does the
jingle guy?
Yeah, like, you can tell at the end he's not really trying as hard. He's not, you know, but it's humorous, I guess. And
it's not Santa, is it, the jingle?
No.
Okay.
Oh, what do you mean, is it Santa?
The jingle guy.
Is it, oh,
jingle
Santa?
All the way, is Santa. What I'm saying. See what I'm talking about?
We'll take a break. Okay. Same thing. So here it is. And I called him last night at like 12:30. And I go, oh, my God, I want to get a jingle for Jimmy Dore. So he gets it a little wrong. He says, welcome back, Jimmy Dore. But I think he means welcome back in the sense of welcome back.
Okay.
Together. Not you've been on. This is your first time.
There's
on the
There's nothing
show.
Like a special treat you have to explain so it doesn't hurt my feelings.
No, it won't. It won't. Here you go. Roll it in. Here we go. I like it. I think you might want to make this your ringtone.
Oh, maybe.
If you isolate certain
well,
areas.
Well, Jimmy Dore. Jimmy Dore's back on the Todd Glass Show.
Sounds good.
Yo, 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 Jimmy Dore. I like that name. I just rolls off my tongue.
That
Jimmy
doesn't rhyme.
Dore, Jimmy Dore, Jimmy Dore. I don't want to close that Jimmy Dore.
Okay.
No, Jimmy Dore. Jimmy Dore's back on the Todd Glass Show. Don't you know? Can you tell I don't know this song?
Ooh, yes.
But I sing it anyway. Cause Jimmy Dore, Jimmy Dore, Jimmy, 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 Jimmy Dore.
I like
Sounds
it.
Sounds like a guy who must wear a hat.
Well, that doesn't
probably
make
has
sense.
A cat,
what?
And maybe a dog too, and a fish and probably.
All right,
I'm glad he's not stretching it out.
I know. Fade this out. Oh my God. Well, you know he's doing it on purpose, don't you?
What I got that
he's making
is that he was mad that you called him last night.
Oh, so he thought, yeah, you know what? Oh, sure, no problem. He's probably got a fish and a hat. Hey, I love the jingles. I listen to them on the treadmill. I've talked about it before, and I'm not afraid to talk about it again.
Did he ask you for the information about Jimmy?
No, I just
caricature?
Tell him. Honestly, you want me to tell you the...
He could have Wikipedia'd me and put something in there. Is that that's a term, Wikipedia?
I like them when they just are, look, I say, oh, the truth is, I don't want to throw this guy under the bus. Mm-hmm. I just tell him, I go, Lynn, don't make it make any sense. It doesn't have to rhyme. Just jam it in there. But for you guys, I had to break the character because you're actually making fun of this jingle guy. And I think most of the listeners know, like, well, yeah, of course he's not. The song doesn't even fit in there. And then sometimes he complains that he doesn't get paid in the middle of the song. Like, what guy, professional, would say that in the middle of a voiceover?
I've done that in the middle of a few sets.
What? Just so you don't get...
Did I get the check already, or do I have to finish?
Well, we have talked
about Holland, Michigan. I had a drink thrown at me. I actually had to say that right after.
You had a drink thrown at you how many times in your career?
Couple. Couple. I don't take shit, Todd, from people.
Oh, I would like to throw... Why can't we throw drinks on people?
I threw a lime at somebody once in the audience.
What'd they do?
I got in trouble.
What do you mean you got in trouble?
They were from the club. Well, I had a lime wedge in my drink, you know, like a big wedge. Mm-hmm. And there were people that were just talking, and they wouldn't stop talking. And so I kind of did that thing where you stop and then you wait for them to realize that there's no show going on except them just talking. Well, that never happened. They just kept talking. So I just picked up a lime in my drink and I just threw it at their table and I hit some lady and they got mad at me for throwing stuff at them. I was like, you should have thrown them out. And you're mad at me for throwing. So that's, you know, so that was my first brush with. Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to sometimes just, well, I don't want to get started.
Go ahead.
The same. No, just sometimes just it would be great to just walk over to someone's table.
And punch them?
Oh. Hey, let me tell you something. Yes. Oh, I've said many times.
Hey, could you be quiet? Thank you.
Just right in there. Just
right in their fucking face.
The problem is the idea of punching someone, it hurts me to punch, to think about what it must feel like for your hand.
Open hand slap. Do an open hand slap.
Oh, the slap is a good
one. That's even
too.
Worse.
I think slapping is much more disrespectful.
I think so.
Like when a big Italian guy walks over to somebody and he goes, hey, watch it, and boom. It's like,
you're not even worth me clenching my fist.
Yeah, like you're like a little kid to me. You need to be slapped because you're being naughty, and I got to slap you.
Yeah.
Just to straighten you the fuck out.
Like a bitch.
Yeah, like, right. I'm going to start slapping people.
Like a bitch.
Like a bitch. That's, you know, you nailed it. So anyway, Mike is here this week. Mike, I like to go slow. Sometimes I feel what happens on the show is I get ahead of myself. Jimmy's here. Obviously, I'm excited. We always like to start slow and then not slow, but, you know. How are you, Mike?
I'm great.
You
thanks.
Doing good?
Yeah. Everything's great.
All right, good. This is going to be a fun show. And then I want to remind people we're at Black Horse Motors because Jimmy, before the show went... We talked about that this guy lets me use this space for no charge.
Right.
And it's an awesome space. So I'm thinking, like, Jesus, couldn't some of the people that listen to the show come down here? Like, they can't.
And buy a Ferrari or two? Right?
Yes, something.
To show support.
I'm not crazy?
No, you're not crazy.
Well, maybe you should start selling things that are affordable, like T-shirts. People can come down and support the place, right. Like Ferrari T-shirts.
Keychains or lighters.
Yeah, like set up like a concession thing over there.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I heard a comedian go, yeah, I got to set up my merch. All right, fucking take it down a notch. You're in your goddamn merch.
I got to watch what I say because I can't edit this later. So
well, you can tell
me whatever. I'm used to being able to edit. I was going to make a joke about somebody.
I know.
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I've been bit in the ass too often lately.
Hey, you shut the fuck up. That's my motto.
I'm learning to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
It only took me 20 years.
You know what? Takes some people longer.
God, some people never learn to shut the fuck up, right? Grace under fire.
Why? What happened with her?
Didn't she not shut the fuck up and they fired her?
Was that what happened?
Right. I think that now she's back. That's why she's back in the news now. She was homeless and... Right?
Oh,
you know what we're talking about?
That doesn't mean she's back in the news. She's back.
No, she's back. She's trying to do some reality TV show or something like that.
Oh, I just saw on the news that she was homeless.
Is that the only news?
I didn't see the reality show part.
Oh, I think I saw her on Entertainment Tonight or something, and she was talking about being homeless, and but then she was going to do a reality show about it. No?
Maybe I
dreamt that. Maybe I dreamt that.
Hold on. I'm getting someone...
Todd, I was just over at Current TV and...
Hold on one second. Where's my phone?
Somebody, do you want me to call it?
Somebody... Oh, there it is. So the reason I did this, somebody sent a
they reviewed the show, and I wanted to talk about it. But
reviewed your show?
No, just a review. Like on, what do you call it, when you can go on?
iTunes,
and just wrote a quick review.
Okay.
But I'm not hitting it from the angle. I get it. Like, I don't, you know, I get it.
It was like a bad review?
Yeah, well, it was weird. I want us to figure out this guy. I don't want to be mean-spirited.
It would be funny if the thing you had us look at, I don't want to be, it's just this guy, tell me what do you think he meant?
Oh, it's so nice.
And he said, hey, Todd's a lot funnier without Jimmy. What does that mean? What does that mean? Jimmy, I just don't know what that means. Is he being a compliment to me? Is that mean to you? I don't know.
You go, Todd, you know what you're doing.
You know goddamn well what he's doing.
No, I don't. I just...
That hurts my
God,
feelings.
Oh, my God, Jimmy, you're starting up again. This is the problem we had. Like, it's totally...
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like, Todd's off-kilter brilliance is what makes the podcast.
Well, that's what
does
Jimmy's
he mean by that, off-kilter?
it's compliments, but if you guy says off-kilter. What the fuck's that mean? And you go, Todd, that means you're...
It's good. You're not...
Oh. Yeah. All right. Then he goes, his timeless act comparing it to George Carlin. What the fuck does that mean?
You're not old.
Yeah. No, Todd, he's comparing you to George Carlin. Oh, all right. That's okay.
I thought timeless meant that you're old. That's what I thought. Okay.
And then I have a clip.
He said your jokes are fat. But he didn't mean PH. He meant like they had a big ass on them.
Nobody calls it. That was a fat joke.
Your joke sounds like it has like a Chris Christie's neck on it. That's what it sounds like. He's a large man.
Remember the thing?
He's a large man.
Remember the thing we were doing about there was a girl we knew.
Yes. I was just thinking of that.
There was a girl we knew, and she used to go, you call her phone, it would say, no, I get it. Part of having a business, you have to fabricate sometimes the size of it and make it seem more professional. I get it. If she had a bad message.
So she was this woman that we weren't fond of, and she was kind of pretending she was in the business. And so when you called her, her voicemail said,
hi, this is blah blah blah. You reached ALM Productions.
Yes.
Leave a message. I'm not in the office right now.
And we're like,
oh, that's a nice little thing you have there, man.
I like this.
Oh, damn.
But we thought, hey, well, what do you mean you've reached KLM Productions? I'm not in the office.
It's like,
if Jimmy goes, you know what? If she really said on her message what you've reached, this is what you would hear.
You reached the phone in the bottom of my purse. I'm at the bar trying to get someone to buy me a drink.
I'm acting like I'm going to blow a guy so I can get a free drink.
I'm acting like I'm going to blow a guy right now so I can get a free drink.
What?
Production.
Mike Coleman, you bring it
Mike
home.
Mike Coleman, nice.
You don't mess around.
Now, Todd, later in the show, I was just over at Current TV, and I was the new Young Turk show is on the air over there, and it's in Culver City, and I spent all day. They gave me two topics. I was going to be on the power panel, and they gave me two topics. So it was Occupy Wall Street, what should they do next? And then the other one was hypocrisy doesn't matter anymore in politics. And so I spent all day writing jokes and getting ready. And then when my segment came, my mic wasn't working.
But they fixed it, right?
And then they came in and they switched out my mic immediately. And then that one didn't work either. So I ended up looking like a jackass. And I'm glad I didn't tell anybody to watch, right?
Oh, it's live?
Yeah, it was live. Mm-hmm. So if I can some point during the show fit these jokes in somewhere.
Yeah, matter of fact, what if what if the bit is that you put them in when they don't belong? So anytime you want, you just go. And the funny thing, the type of thing that if somebody's listening and they don't hear this part, they're going to go, Jimmy Dore.
He's like, really off topic.
Yeah, he was trying to jam his jokes in.
Didn't seem natural at all.
Okay, so anyway, here, I want to read this. And...
this is that review you're talking about?
Yeah, and I also wanted to side reference. We talked about the Young Turks. What's the show called that you...
It's called the Young Turks.
Young Turks. And I thought when you always talked about that, I never knew what it was, I told you. And then when But then when I saw what it was, I'm like, oh, that's the guy that whenever you pull up topics...
On the internet, it's him.
It's him, and I didn't know that's what the name of it was.
Yeah.
I just, over the last few years, I would pull up things, and his comes up first sometimes.
Yeah.
And I liked his opinion on stuff. So I was jealous when I found out that you basically were filling in. You fill in for him here and there, right?
Yeah, You really first found out when I did the show and then Janine Garofalo called you.
Eh?
And the reason I say that is just so I can name drop and let people know that Janine Garofalo called me.
She did. I knew Jimmy would be happy, so I forwarded
the
number.
I saw you got Zach on your opening thing and you got Brian Regan. So, you know, I got to drop Janine Garofalo. It's like I like to say it.
You know what I do? I like to sometimes it's easier to ask people to call my voicemail and say they want to do it, and that's the bit, as opposed to getting them on the show. Because I hate asking people to do the show sometimes.
Todd, is that not the worst part? That's what's really kind of – I haven't dropped an episode of my show for – to going on 3 weeks. It's the first time I've never dropped in. People are stopping donating left and right. And so, but it's that asking people. And it's like, do you, I was like, oh, I wish I didn't have to worry about people saying no to me. And have. Mm-hmm. But then does anybody ever say no to you?
No, you know what? I wanted to have a show. I guess, you know, here's the thing. Once we talk about this, then this review is going to make sense. It's going to be like, but I don't agree with the guy.
Okay.
So we're talking about the podcast on the podcast right now.
Yes.
No, I wanted to have a show where I didn't need guests, where it was just a fun atmosphere, and if the guests were a bonus.
Yes.
So I haven't sweated. When I can get them, that's great. You know what I mean?
We know
what we're talking about.
Exactly.
Like high-profile guests.
Yes.
But I just also have a camp of fun people that I love doing it with. And that doesn't stress me out. So there, it's a bonus when I get certain people, but also if I don't, I just have the crew, you know, the guys here, and then Katie, and then and whoever, like if Mike Komen is here today, and then I just have fun that way. But here's the review. It's funny.
You know, can I just say, you know, I don't mind that, let's see, who did I, Woody Allen, I couldn't get him. I tried to get Woody Allen.
Oh, you're shooting too big, Jimmy.
And I'm still trying. I'm going to get him.
No, you're shooting too big.
Mm-hmm. I got Joan Rivers and people.
Oh, come on.
And
hello.
I know that's not the same thing, Joan Rivers. I know that's not
this
the same
Joan
thing.
Joan Rivers. Is that Jimmy Dore? Oh, my God. I love him.
I got.
Anyway.
I couldn't. So I can't get Woody Allen, but I'm going to get Rich Voss. So that should. Is that not the same target market? Are you telling me?
Well, no, that's
I love
good.
Rich Voss.
I know that's just funny because you know why? You're not making fun of Rich Voss. You're saying that it's not a – well, if you were listening to a podcast and somebody said – I'm thinking –
I can't get
laugh.
Woody Allen, but I could get Jimmy Dore.
I would
that's
laugh.
Funny.
I would laugh because I go, fun. I know I'm a good comic, but I'm not Woody Allen.
I love Rich Voss.
Rich Voss is
– I actually – you know what? Can I tell you why his name popped in my head? Because I tried to get him on my show once and he said no.
Oh.
And but it wasn't because he – you know, not that he didn't want to do it. He couldn't do it that night or something like that. Mm. I wanted to get him on the phone to talk about an issue. But I've had his wife on and stuff like that.
Bonnie.
So Todd, who...
Hey, girl. Let me read this.
Okay, read it.
Let me read this. Okay, so...
Can you do me a favor and cut out all the boring shit that I'm saying?
No, you know what, Jimmy? I know, Jimmy, it's just like
so
no
it'll be
time.
A five-minute podcast. I get it.
No time has passed. This is a comfort zone. No time has passed. This is
exactly the same.
And I'm going to steal a line that I say on the show a lot that I got from Steph once. Steph is Jimmy's wife. And one time we were together and somebody sort of, we were smoking a little pot when you can let your guard down a little.
Yes.
And somebody said something that was a little bit, made me want to go back inside myself.
Mm.
I thought it was just in my head. And Steph said, hey, real sweet, this is a safe zone. And I fucking wanted to hug her that she knew where I was at and that I needed to hear that. And then I always say that on this show. I go, it's a safe zone. You know what? We just... Just like when we're sitting around the fire pit, we just sometimes we're being silly, sometimes we're not. And then you read the reviews sometimes, and certain people like it and certain people don't. But here's what this guy said. Now, I don't want to hit it from the angle of, I think I've matured a little. We don't need one more person to tell us, you know, oh, people can go on. I think it's good people can review shows. Sometimes they write nice things that make me feel good. Sometimes they write bad things. So it's not from, why is this guy reviewing the show? I get it. That's not. I just want to see if we think we can figure this guy out. Then get him on the show. And you might think, well, Todd, anybody writes a bad review, you're going to figure out that they're a moron. Not necessarily. I might get my feelings hurt and go, I wish they wouldn't think that. But I think there's a guy here that has let me read the review.
Yeah.
And, sir, his name is Jared1987. Is that
that fucking prick.
Are you serious?
Are you kidding? Yeah,
no, I think that might not be his real name.
No, that's what he says here. But anyway, he knows who he is because he might still be listening. And
right.
Number one, I'm going to tell him, and I'm going to start doing this a lot right now, I do not want him listening. He's banned from the show. And if we found out he's listening, no bullshit, I will handle this in a
Call iTunes and get him to stop his download.
I don't want him, and he might go, fuck you, I'll do what I want. You will not listen to the show. I don't give a fuck what you want. Let me tell you something, and I'm being a little dramatic to make my point. Don't think for a fucking second.
Second.
You think he's thinking, oh, it's a joke, I get it. You will not listen to the show. You fucking hear me? You pile of shit, and you will do what I say. I don't want you listening like, out of curiosity now, skipping through it here and there. Nothing. You are cut off from the show.
That's right. You go sit in Subway and you listen to nothing.
That's right.
Now, Jared.
Let me also say that I want to be so serious about figuring out this guy that I'm going to even state the obvious. Obviously, I'm joking because then he'll go, oh, he's being silly. He's attacking me and it's crazy. No. I really want to figure this guy out.
Okay.
So I'll read the review and he should write a review. I get it. It's okay. But I want to hear. Here's him. In the fashion of every. Jimmy, can you read it?
Sure.
Thank you.
Oh, you know what? I don't have my glasses.
Can you read it, Mike?
Yeah.
And read it all the way through, and then we'll go back, and I'll tell you what my problem with it is.
Can I say, first of all, it's 3 stars. It's not like a pan.
It is?
Yeah, 3.
How many can you get all together?
5.
Oh, give me that fucking phone and edit this out.
All right, sorry. Okay. In the fashion of every L.A.-based comedian, Todd Glass has started a podcast. As someone who's been listening to podcasts prior to this boom, in quotes, kind of condescending, I can honestly say Todd's show isn't bad, but needs work. Eating during the show is extremely annoying, regardless if you give warning or not. It's disgusting and unprofessional. The other thing Todd does that really bothers me is that he spends a sizable chunk of the podcast talking about the podcast.
That's okay. Guys, no laughter.
Nobody really cares what you want to do with the show or what it currently is.
Okay.
Would you want to read a book where the author talks in detail about writing the book you're reading?
If he did it in a funny way, I would.
Yeah, it's called...
Hold on.
Yeah.
Let's get it out. Let's get it out.
I imagine the show will improve over time, but as it stands, it's just okay.
Okay. Here's my thing. I want to figure this guy out. I mean, I know I'm going to say this and I'm going to borderline do what I don't want to do, but my efforts are to genuinely more figure him out than berate him. But I would like him to come in. If there's any way we can get him in here, I could be completely wrong. It has a tone that he's angry to start that there's podcasts.
Yeah, that's what it is. He's annoyed.
He wanted to take a swipe at,
but he likes them. He seems to like podcasts.
It's like it's like all these actors in Hollywood. They have to make a fucking movie.
Right.
You know, it's like, do you like movies? Oh, yeah, I like movies.
Now, by the way,
why are you upset with this?
Yeah, well, if that's what movies are. Yeah. Before this movie boom.
Now everybody's making movies.
Yeah, and in all fairness to him, it's worth addressing because going step by step, he's not the only one that echoes this type of people that feel that way.
He's not the only idiot.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to be nice.
No, I'm kidding.
Trying to be nice because then it seems more real than if I go up doing it, but I'm sure I'll end by calling him fat.
So.
I always end up when I get angry.
Yeah, maybe 1987 is how much this jerk weighs.
Come on, I really don't. Hold on, I'm getting hot and I'm sweating. Okay, let me just go one.
You have a fan on you right now, right?
I know.
Okay.
Because I always listen to the podcast later and I think I just like to really go slow here. So the other people feel that way, and I think the way you know you're not just stuck on something you feel is if somebody interjects some real common sense to what your feelings are, and you don't have the ability. I don't always do this. Certain things I feel, I don't know if you could budge me, but sometimes somebody just sheds a little fact on something or their side of it, and you go, oh, that is true. Why am I angry at guys? I know people that feel that way. Like, oh, everyone's doing a podcast. It's like, yes, it's a new vehicle. It's just like stand-up comedy. And by the way, to George Carlin, I said this before I did a podcast. Because now it doesn't give it as much validity because I'm a guy defending my podcast. But I am so glad that I said this before I did a podcast, even before me and Jimmy did comedy and everything else, I said this. Because I was like, it's like stand-up. There was a period where stand-up, you know, people found out, oh my God, there's places to perform stand-up in like 1978 or whatever. You know, it wasn't like, you know, years ago there were comedy clubs. And a lot of people that wanted to do that, they started doing stand-up. Some will make it, some won't. But it's a great vehicle, and people should jump on board. Some podcasts will turn into something, some won't, just like stand-ups. But imagine if you had that attitude towards, a lot of people are trying stand-up. Like, what are the odds of them turning that into something? Well, I don't know. I can think of a lot of stand-ups I knew from day one that now are doing – the odds of making it in stand-up are not like, oh, what are the odds? I probably know 10 people that I – or 15 that I knew from open mic night now that are like fucking crazy successful. Same thing with podcasts. Some will do it for a week and stop. Some will do it for a year. Some it'll turn into something. You know, so I think that's funny that right then I'm curious what he's thinking right now. I wonder if he's going, or if he's going, yeah, what, why was I right? He might go, well, I wasn't saying it was, yeah, you were. Anybody who read this would say it was like a very much like, along with every other comic, you know, it's like,
I'm also telling jokes like every other comic.
Yeah.
It's what the fuck.
That's
he's doing
nasty.
Something that people enjoy listening to.
Yeah, he's doing something that, you know, okay, you said it.
Well, yeah, there's a forum for funny people, right? Like if you want a lot of people you wouldn't hear otherwise, they can have shows.
Yes.
Like that's only a good thing if you like those people.
Yes, right. And I would like to make this joke a few more times. Could I just do it?
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's like he's smoking pot like all the other people who smoke pot. Hey, he's driving a car like everybody else.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah, just keep doing it.
Imagine if a car car came along, and everyone went, oh, you're getting a car, and everyone else is getting a car.
Just because they're useful.
But hey, guess what? The caller, go ahead. You're on.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to have a cell phone just like everybody else.
Thank you, caller.
Yeah.
Like a lot of other doctors who are trying to cure cancer, Shenanigan is also trying.
I'm going to be a scientist, and I'm going to try to cure diseases that are debilitating to people. That's what I'm going to do.
Okay, let's move on.
I love doing it.
Oh, okay, I'll keep doing it.
This will drive him nuts. We can get this guy to kill himself.
This guy right now is sitting in his car with his
jacking off. Oh, he is loving it. Matter of fact, he's jacking off so much that he's going to foot past his dick, because that's how big it feels right now. He's like jacking off. He's passing the dick, coming back. He's like, he feels like his dick is that big. Wow. Meanwhile, hey, I don't want to go. We don't know how big the guy's penis is.
Right. That wouldn't be right to make fun. We could call him fat, but don't make fun of his cock.
You know what I feel like? I know. I said to George Carlin, I was going to tiptoe into doing stuff like we're doing. But I think to George Carlin, I was really trying not to do that. We ended up being silly. So let me go back to the next thing that he says. Now, I really thought about this today, because I know this. I always try to get into the mind of somebody else. Like, he's thinking, like I said before, Todd, so you don't want bad reviews? No. I'm repeating myself. I'm not saying it in the sense of somebody said he shouldn't be able to post that. I'd be like, he should be able to. I get it. People write nice, they're bad. It's just figuring him out. So then he writes. Now, I can't believe he doesn't have the ability to go, that's not my thing, but that's what Todd does. You shouldn't talk about the podcast on the podcast. Like, he doesn't have the ability to go, I don't fucking like that, but he can't fathom that some people become part of the family. Because I'll tell you what, I'm not going to lie. I do wonder when I read that, is that wrong? Is that nobody else does that? No one.
Well,
does. And then I think I got to be the advice I got from anybody that I've admired in radio over the years was, and I took it when I started this thing. I was starting to seep things in. Be
don't
honest.
Piss off the advertisers. No, don't, what? Let
yeah,
me.
Yeah. That's, don't piss off the advertisers. Hey, hand me that Sharpie. I want to write that down. Oh, I love this Sharpie. I got the calligraphy Sharpie. It's really good. So anyway, Sharpie. I love Sharpie. I've loved Sharpie ever since I was a little kid. We're going to talk about that later. So anyway. What were we back? Back to this, please. I don't want to.
Well, I think you're right, because the shit he was saying, you could have just as easily said, like, if you like podcasts where people eat on the podcast and talk about the podcast, this is for you. This is the best podcast.
Yeah, some people. Now, okay. So
he just is saying he doesn't like it.
Hold on. Let me get to that point, too. So going back to the talking about the podcast, it's an experience I'm going through, and I just decided to have it on the air with the audience, what it's going to be.
Doesn't Howard Stern always talk about things that are happening on the Howard Stern show? Isn't it always happening that way on that show?
Well, that's sometimes, I'm obviously a fan of Howard Stern.
Yeah, that's
and,
what I'm saying.
I do think of that sometimes. It's a fine line of self-indulgent. I'm sure when Howard Stern's talking about his grilled cheese that they brought back wrong, he's wondering, oh, shit, but I'm loving it at my house. Because we're part of the family. And I just – so anyway, I think that's funny that he – like, again, I wonder what he's thinking right now. Like, no, nobody likes that. Nobody does. Or can he go – the thing what you said about the eating. Here's why that – he's 100% right on the eating. I heard it last week. We had McFlurries. And I edited out 10 minutes of the show because it was worse. And I said to – I basically blamed this on Blake Wexler, because I said, Blake, you hear it again. It's like we – and by the way, I'm curious – I don't remember eating on any other shows. I could be wrong, and if I am, I'm going to fucking fix that. But on the McFlurry one, I did hear a teeny – I go, it's still there. And Blake goes, it's not that bad, but it's slurping. It's like – but the fact that that's what he went to, if he's listened to 10 shows, one thing – so here's what I'm going to say. Was there anything else we need to address? He needs to work on it.
Well, you talked about the podcast. The podcast was
we talked about that.
I mean, sure, the Republicans have gone back on their pledge to America. But they made their pledge to corporate America in a basement where they killed a goat and had to summon a beast. So that's a much more important character.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Jimmy is not even talking about what we're talking about on the show.
Todd, this is important, though. We need to get this out. These are important things.
It's like he's just doing these
bits. Frank Luntz is the Republican pollster, and he recently said that Occupy Wall Street actually scares him. And I can tell if you ever saw Frank Luntz, he had to look in his face. I haven't seen that scared look since they started allowing minorities into his fraternity. So it's pretty scary. And that time the pizza guy forgot the crazy bread. He was out of his fuck. Have you seen him? He's a little chubby. He's getting up there. Frank Luntz. He wasn't always fat, but he's fat now. It's like one of those guys. He's been in public life. I've seen him get fat. You know,
how fat, how heavy would you say he was? Mike's mom is she's a moose. So let's be careful here.
He's probably 100 pounds overweight.
Oh really?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that supposed to mean?
It means your mom's a fucking pig. That's what that means.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back right after this. We'll take a break.
Hey, everybody. This is Andrew Furtado from the Todd Glass Show. I just wanted to wish you all just a happy holidays to you and yours. I want to throw a happy holiday to my family in Rhode Island. I miss you guys. Just don't call me.
Happy holidays from the Todd Glass Show.
All right.
Todd, so, how do you do those jingles?
Lynn Shore does them. I love him.
Okay. Can I have his email or something?
Yes, I'll do some for you.
I got to get some of those.
Let me tell you something, Jimmy. You're the first person that asked for my jingle guy's number. Yes. It'll be my present to you.
I've been thinking about, I want that. Okay.
I've been calling these other podcasts. I go, get some jingles.
I need some jingles.
I'm not cramming. I don't want them all for myself. All right, so let me finish talking about this guy. And then, Mike, I wanted you to tell something, too. So let me say
about
this.
It's about this.
Oh, it's about this. Okay. Yeah. So let me just say this. So I wanted to have the guy in to see if we were wrong about not what we were just saying, but here's my guess on who this guy is. And we'd have to have him in and maybe a friend of his that could tell us. You know, I didn't want to admit it, that those guys really – I want to figure him out now as close as we all can. Like, we're a therapist. From that information, what type of person he is. I'm going to say – I don't think he's nurturing. And I've said this before. I really mean that. I think if his girlfriend was here, somebody in his life, and we asked that, we go, no bullshit, defend him. If you go, well, you got him pegged. And we could. There could be people, his friends, by that time, he's playing this for them. They could go, well, you got him wrong there. Because he just seems like very, like he says the show's all right and it might get better. Well, then why don't you be a little kinder? Like, and he just seems like an angry guy. And I'm going to go out on a limb here again. That, and I'm going to say he also probably is angry. You might go, Todd, this is half the world. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. If I'm right, I'm right. That's not half the world, what I'm about to say. It's a lot of people that want to do something creative and aren't, and then it vents out of bitter. They get bitter. I think he's an angry guy also that's not doing what his passion is.
Oh,
maybe.
I think people who leave negative reviews on podcasts that they like on iTunes are very well balanced and are doing a lot of great things probably. They seem like they really have their act together, and they're so involved with doing what their passion is that they sometimes just take a break to shit on other people's creative work.
Okay, I know you'll be able to explain this, and believe me, I want you to. Could somebody say, and I know there's an answer to this, but I want to hear it. Oh, so what about people who write positive stuff? They have stuff going on? They have time to write positive stuff? Does that mean, what's that mean?
That means that they're good people, that and Jesus gave them extra minutes in the day.
Thank you.
And and so that's it was, I'll give you extra minutes in the day if you promise to use it by reviewing people positively. And then those are the good people. The other people are using the regular 24-hour time. That's kind of a loser.
Yeah.
Right? I would only write a negative. Todd, I spent most of the day arguing with people on Facebook, so
can't
I can't really
do
come down on this guy. Yeah.
I just like to break it down. I hope I'm like, and Mike, what were you going to say about it?
I think we can, like, you look at his name. It's like Jared, 1987, so he's probably 24 years old.
Right? Yes, that's right.
Or how about if that's
maybe that's when he graduated high school?
But like, really, like, what does that mean? Because people use the year they were born in their internet name.
Mm-hmm.
Like they want people to know how old they are, but they also think that the year they were born is really important, right? Like he's an egomaniac.
You think you really mean that?
Yeah, I do. I think that that's
1987 was the year of the savings and loan crisis. So fuck your year. That's a shitty year.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that. 87. So that was Reagan and shit.
So for $1,000, would you seriously? If I put $1,000,
what are you, Mitt Romney?
Yeah. Well, I saw. Okay, let's move on. That's interesting.
I
want to talk about that. Yes.
Don't you think that kid's pissed off? He didn't use his full name. Because now we're talking about
it. Yeah, I know. Because he wants his friends.
Yes.
But,
hold on. I got to cut you
only
off.
Time any, okay.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, the only time anyone ever wrote about me on the internet. I only got – people only wrote about me once in my life, which was when I worked at Conan. I was sick one time and he came to my apartment. And
did he fire you?
No, he was like checking to see if I was really sick.
Oh, because you couldn't come in?
Yeah, because I had strep throat. But
wait a second.
Like,
he really, in a joking way, came to your apartment?
Yeah, he like came with a camera to see if I was really sick.
That's beautiful. And where did you look sick?
Unfortunately, I was actually sick, so I was like out of it. But I don't know if I even looked that sick. But I was sick. I like my throat was sore. But so I was reading. So I go on the internet to see, like, because people are writing about me, and everyone hated me, and they all thought that I was faking being sick because that's what Conan said. And this guy says, like, what a piece of shit. This guy has one of the cushiest jobs anyone could ever have in the world, and he pretends to be sick? This is why Americans are lazy pieces of crap, and this is why we're going to bomb Iran.
He's right about that Iran thing, God. But
yeah, he was right on the But up until the Iran thing, I thought like, oh, he's kind of, I don't know. I mean, maybe I should have gone into work even though I wasn't feeling well.
I love it.
But yeah, sometimes people are just crazy.
Well, whenever I read a review, there's a thing online, and maybe he can pull it up because I think we'd all love to listen to it. It's Rodney giving band instructions. So when Rodney Dangerfield would tour, he didn't have a band. There were three. He'd have a little four-piece band or five-piece band, and they would get instructions that Rodney did into a recorder. And then it's online somehow. It was
really?
Like something that only went to the bands. And then you understand, like, if you knew his act, you're going, oh, my God, they did that in his act, and that's when they did that. But somebody wrote Rodney. Like, it's – come on. Who – I guess there are people, but I find it hard to believe. Here's the way I put it. If somebody said they didn't like Rodney – and I've had this happen in my career where someone said they didn't like a comedian. They go, it's just – you know, that's how I feel. And I go, yeah, I've learned that. Like, you have a right to like whoever you like. I can't argue who you like. But I have started doing this at Thanksgiving dinners, and it's a lot of fun. I go, you're right. You have a right to like, and what you like can go all over the board. But don't you find it, like, the comedian you like, and I'm not mentioning names, and then I go, I know this person likes David Cross. I know this person likes a lot of great comedians. And I go, don't you hate that no one likes this person and you do? Don't you want to go, why is my sensibility off here? So anyway, what my point is that everybody, I don't know one great comedian that doesn't love Rodney.
Right.
But I read the review, and this was when it makes you think, oh, who gives a shit about someone writes about me? But you do, but it helps dissipate it. Someone writes, yeah, this video that he plays is a lot funnier than anything he ever fucking did. Who the fuck is this goddamn maniac? And I think they should get this guy off the streets. Who is this guy? This guy's like a fucking lunatic. He doesn't think Rodney's funny? Like, you need seriously, you need fucking help. That's like, you know what else? And then after that, that's like someone that doesn't think Brian Regan's funny. Then get the fuck out of the business. Because you're only saying it for two reasons. You either are fucking out of your goddamn mind, or you think that you're tired of hearing everyone say how they like Brian Regan, so you decided that you'd be the one that doesn't. Either way, fucking kill yourself.
The Republicans are only going to pass that payroll tax cut if Obama goes along with the oil pipeline and cutting Medicare. Hey, why don't you just ask for a fueled helicopter and $1 billion in unmarked bills and safe transit to the closest Bank of America, too, you fucking prick. This is important.
No, I love it. This is what we do on this show. The thing, we just talk about something, it flows into something else. I'm happy.
I'm with you on that. Because Frank Luntz, we were talking about, because he's so fat now, you know, and he is fat. And, you know, he likes to say that, he said, oh, the joke about, oh, you know, those Occupy Wall Street people, why don't you get a job after you take a bath? That's good, because you can dismiss a whole nationwide movement with just like one sentence, right? Wait, and you're saying, Jimmy, didn't you just dismiss him by calling him fat? I dismissed him as a person. I did dismiss him as an idea, and that's different.
I got a little confused.
It's confusing what I'm saying.
No, it's okay. I like it.
It doesn't make sense all the way.
If I tell you this, will you feel better?
Yes.
I like to be confused sometimes.
Okay, sometimes.
And that's doing it for me.
You know, instead of me going to iTunes, what happened when I got pissed off. I don't know if you guys felt this way, but when I saw the UC Davis where the cop was pepper spraying all those kids, It made me so angry. Like, I couldn't do anything else that day. I couldn't stop and read another story. I couldn't watch a movie. I couldn't have a conversation with my wife. I couldn't take my dog for a walk and enjoy it. I couldn't do fucking anything because that was on my mind.
What was on your mind? I'm sorry.
UC Davis where they pepper sprayed the kids, right?
Oh.
So I couldn't do anything. I'm just sitting in my house now just upset. So I decide, so what Jared would do was go to iTunes and write shitty things about your show. What I did was I called the UC Davis Police Department and fucking yelled at them.
And what did they do?
They
must have been fielding a lot of calls.
They told me they had my phone number, and then I said, I'm calling through Skype, and you can't. And then I found out they could actually track you down through Skype. So that was a bad idea.
Wait, is that illegal to call the
police? I was harassing a little. And then I called back, and I called up and I said, hey, can you guys do me a favor? There's some kids playing hacky sack behind my garage. Could you come over here and pepper spray the shit out of them? And he's like, sure, where do you... I go, because that's what you guys do, right? You'll just pepper spray the shit out of people, right? And that's what... I shouldn't have done that. But then I did call back.
No, of course, that was numbing to see that.
I couldn't believe it. So I called back, and then I said, hey, I need to talk to someone who's available for the press to talk about the incident. So they...
Did you tape any of this?
I taped this thing. So they connect me to this office... And they give me to this... I got this lady's cell phone, the information director for UC Davis. I get her cell phone number. So I call it, and she hands it to another guy. And they're right in the middle of a confrontation with students when I called. Right? So it's that Saturday. He starts talking to me. I have it all on tape, Todd. It's fucking... I'm going, hey, what's your policy on using chemical weapons against peaceful students on your... What is your policy? And he's like, it's an impossible question to answer. He wouldn't tell. First of all, he wouldn't call pepper spray a chemical weapon, and he kept saying it's pepper spray. Which I love how people say like it's not a big deal. It's just pepper spray. Yeah, it just burns your eyes. Is that a sensitive
organ?
It's pepper.
Organ? It's like they could do oregano.
Yeah. Lorena Bobbitt just cut off the tip of his dick. What's the big deal?
So let me ask you about this. What? And I'm not playing. Obviously, that made my stomach hurt too. Just like when you saw it. What should they in a situation where they want to remove people? Maybe I'm playing devil's advocate a little. Maybe I'm really curious. But I know pepper spray can't be the answer.
Right.
So I'm not asking in the way of going, like Todd's going, well, maybe pepper spray. No, there's got to be something else you could do.
Depends on what you want to move them for. If they're peacefully protesting something, you don't use violence on peaceful protesters.
And you just let them stay as long as they want.
Well, they've picked them up before. You can pick them up and drag them over. And
yeah. How about what I said the other night, seltzer water? Because that's what Graham Elwood was saying.
I say seltzer water.
Yeah, you go like over there, you go. Because Graham was saying the seltzer water is good sometimes. Ladies, we need you to move from the premises. We need you to move from the premises.
We won't go.
We won't go.
We need you to move. Listen up, you little fucks.
We won't go.
Listen up.
We won't go.
Turn the PA up, Frank.
We won't go.
All righty.
We won't go.
Let's shut up.
We won't go.
All right, get me my... That's right, motherfuckers.
Hey, you're an animal.
Here's what I'm saying.
Is that seltzer water? That's kind of funny.
Here's what I'm saying. To watch people that shouldn't be pepper sprayed, like you said, it gives you a stomach ache. It gives me a stomach ache. But you know what would be fun to watch, I bet? People that should be moved. And then they get – like someone that's doing something mean. Like they never go down and pepper spray when they're protesting outside a church. You know what I mean? Like when their Ku Klux Klan is marching down the street. You know what? As much as I think – I don't care what anybody does. I get it. I'm not a dumb person. Over the years, we all understand why the Ku Klux Klan has to march. We get it. But how come they don't fucking – you ever hear a story about that? Yeah, they went in there, the Ku Klux Klan. They fucking pepper sprayed. How cool would that be to see some guy holding up a sign, a hateful sign, and then boom, right – and a fucking taser in his stomach. Just him shaking, convulsing, and spitting.
Do you think that you could – that's what I thought. Like I could never be a peaceful protester. Like as soon as a cop did something to me, I would fucking hit them so hard, as hard as I could back. I would pick up a bottle. I would be the worst. I would have my own pepper spray. I don't know why those kids don't have their own goddamn pepper spray. Just start pepper spraying those motherfuckers back. You can buy it on Amazon.com. It would probably hurt the movement if they did that.
Yeah,
probably why they don't do that. Don't take my advice on shit. I'm very emotional. I'm a very reactionary type guy. Okay, Todd, what's going on over there?
No, that's all right. Yeah, what is everything all right? Okay, cool. Can we do something now to help you with that?
No, I always sound like I'm being sarcastic when I say it, but I'm not. Let's fix that.
Did you hear?
Hold on.
This out.
No, I don't want to edit anything out. The less editing Katie has to do, the better, and the happier she is, and the happier she is, the happier I am, and the happier I am, the happier you're going to be, and Jimmy, you're going
to
be happy too.
I need
if
to
I'm
be
happy.
I need a little happiness.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh no, I just thought it was so great what they did to the dean. Do you know that
the silent
story?
Walk?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's like the best.
What happens?
Reaction. Anything like this I've ever heard. That all the students lined up, and when the dean, who had called in the police, originally left her office. She just had to walk past.
So
how many was it?
She didn't want to leave because she was afraid of the student protesters. She was afraid for her safety.
Right.
She didn't know what they were going to do. So what the students decided to do was that they were going to sit there in silence, and they were going to clear a path for her on her way to her car all the way. And then they said, we won't even sit on both sides because that could be threatening. We're only going to have the kids sit on one side of the street. So they only sat on one side in silence. It was nighttime, and she walked out, and it was like you could hear her shoes going click, click, and there's all these hundreds of kids.
Who were they doing this to?
To the chancellor, actually.
She wasn't
the chancellor of UC Davis, who ordered the riot cops in to beat the shit out of those kids on her campus. So they cleared a path for her to leave. You got to see the video, Todd.
Oh, I want to watch it.
It's like the power of silence is unbelievable, right? So she walks all the way to her car in silence. Silence on video. It's pretty powerful, right, Mike?
Well, they're staring at her as she's walking by. So it's...
Yeah, they're just staring at her.
And that's why, Jimmy, for the people that, we don't want to get a call, hey, because what Jimmy said, people are going out and buying their own pepper spray. We get the power of the people, Martin Luther King, his whole thing was about. That's how it works. But I'm with Jimmy.
Yeah.
We get why that is the brilliant way to do it. But I'd be like you. I don't think I could sit there. I'd be like, oh.
If I was born African-American, I would definitely be a Black Panther. That's the way I would.
You know what I'd be? A Black Sharpie.
This is why Jared Sharpies. 1987 should have just sat in silence and brooded at your podcast.
Outside the studio here.
Yeah.
It's like when you Good Morning America, where you have the big glass windows.
Yeah.
Sometimes in the morning, people stand there with signs when we're doing the show. We do a morning show,
uh-huh.
And they have signs. Hey, Todd Glass Show, and we
Hi, Grandma.
Hi, Grandma, yeah.
Hello, Biloxi.
Biloxi,
stuff like that.
Biloxi Blues, which is my favorite Sharpie color.
Yeah, maybe Jared comes down here with a T-shirt on that says, Stop Eating. And less references to the podcast while you're doing it. Maybe that's what he does.
Yeah, well,
silently.
That's a good way to do it. I want to have him on the show, and I will make him a promise. I will put money in an envelope if he comes on the show. That $500, that if we do any, we got a little silly today, and we were saying some things that were, we left, hey, it was funny, and I don't give a shit we did it, don't get me wrong, but we left we had an intelligent discussion, and then it turned into just bashing somebody. We just, because it was fun, and we laughed, but if he comes in, we won't do that. I want to have a serious interview with that guy. We're going to get him in here, find out what we're right. Did we call him right? We'll be able to tell. When someone sits in front of you, can read them.
And you're going to pay him $500 for
no,
that?
No. If we, when he got in here, who would want to come and do an interview if we're going to bash them when they get in here and
be disrespectful to him? So if you don't bash him, he doesn't get the cash?
No. If he goes, you're right, you called me on some of my stuff and you might a little bit hard on me, but you didn't make fun of my appearance or my weight, or we don't know what the guy's weight is. Whatever it would be, we wouldn't go there.
Okay.
That's good, right?
What if he's really ugly?
No, I wouldn't say anything. I never said anything about
Ernest
an audience
Borgnine.
Member being ugly except one time.
Who was it?
I don't.
Was it that time your mom came?
We'll take a break. We'll be right back right after this. You're listening to The Todd Glass Show.
Hey, it's Katie Levine, the producer of The Todd Glass Show. Hope you have a happy Hanukkah, but not Christmas because I don't celebrate that.
Happy holidays from The Todd Glass Show.
I like that. The first one was Andrew. This was Katie.
I got it.
All right, so...
How do you do those jingles? I want to learn them.
Well, hold on. I think I could do one right here for you. Hold on. Be patient. Is this it?
Hello?
Hello? Hold on.
That's quite a... you got... Is that the thing from your house, Todd? Is that box from your house?
No.
Did you get a new one?
I had something else, but now...
What kind of board do you
use?
It's
like number, 30...
the one that sounds
this
like...
is from Carvin.
Oh.
Yeah. They're right down the street from Meltdown Comics.
Oh, do you know how much that cost?
No.
It wasn't bad. It was $250. No, this was $250.
That,
yeah.
Oh, he's talking about that. Okay.
Yeah,
all right. I got a little bit lost there, but that's, everything's good.
We can edit that out. Don't worry about it.
No, that's okay. We had a moment.
Okay.
So I wanted to play this for you. Speaking of these kids protesting, and I'm protesting, is that right?
Protesting.
Protesting, yes. I want to play this thing for you. And if it's not, like I said, we can edit it out. But when I first heard it, I thought, Jimmy Dore would be able to explain this. What I think, how people always say, kids today, they're so apathetic and they do.
The kids today with the hair and the clothes, am I right? And the new math?
Yeah. The kids, they don't do, they're just so, they, all they do is play video games. And I fucking go, that's not true at all. I bet there's, so I think this is addressing that, this kid's addressing that, and I hope I'm right. Otherwise, you can go, this kid's a moron. To me, he sounded really smart, and I thought he was addressing. We're not apathetic. This is, you know. So, why don't you play that?
Well, I might be in detention a week.
I can hear him.
And the school might not be very happy, but we sure showed something much bigger last Wednesday. Okay, sorry. You know, this was meant to be the first post-ideological generation, right? This was meant to be the generation that never thought of anything bigger than our Facebook profiles and our TV screens. This was meant to be the generation where the only thing that Saturday night meant was X Factor. I think now that claim is quite ridiculous. I think now that claim is quite preposterous. I think now we've shown that we are as ideological as ever before. Now we've shown that solidarity and comradeship and all those things that used to be associated with students are as relevant now as they've ever been.
Wow.
He's 16.
What?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the most incredible thing that happened on Wednesday, I went down. I thought I was going to go down in lunch break and then get back in time for lessons. Perhaps I should have known they put the guy in charge of the G20 in charge.
He's 15.
I should have been more concerned for my life than for whether I was going to get down for lessons. But when I tried to get out and I was told it was a sterile area by police officers standing and not letting anyone out, I thought, well, that's why we need a university education. If we don't get one, we end up in police uniforms. You know, when I was cuddled in there, I was with thousands and thousands of school students who'd come down with their ties around their heads in their school uniforms, and yeah, they were cold, who'd come down, who'd never been on a protest before, who'd never joined a political party or been involved in a political movement before, who didn't have any economic knowledge or political degrees, but they were there because they believed in something. They were there because they believed in something bigger, and they were there because they knew that either, you know, there weren't a million choices, there were two choices. Either they laid down and took whatever the government threw at them, or they stood up and fought back. And so those school students who'd never been involved in anything before stood up and they fought back. And when they were in that kettle, being kettled in by police, you know, the word went round as we were sitting, huddling around fires, sharing out what little food we had, and the word went round, people said, we know what they're up to. We know that they don't think we're a danger to the public. I'm 15 years old. People there were as young as 13. We know they don't think we're going to run riot through the streets of London. We know what they're up to. They think that if they kettle us now, we're not going to come on a demonstration ever again. Well, let the word go out from today, people said. Let the word go out about next Tuesday. Let the word go out about next week and next month and next year that they can't stop us demonstrating. They can't stop us fighting back. And however much they try to imprison us in the streets of London, those are our streets, and we will always be there to demonstrate. We will always be there to fight. People who had always thought that the police were just those people at the other end of the telephone line to help if there was a burglary. People who'd always thought that the media were just those friendly newspaper men who were there to give them that unbalanced...
Okay, I think we got the gist of it. So
that kid's got a bug up his ass.
15. What if that's how you looked at it?
Am I right? What's his problem?
Well, was that one of those Ricky Gervais things?
15 years old. That's amazing, isn't it?
Why doesn't he get a job and take a shower?
Yeah, is that what there's? You know, there's people that think
yes.
That.
Wait, so who was that? I don't.
You got to obey the cops. You got to listen to what they say.
Yeah, otherwise you get pepper sprayed.
That's right.
That's why they do it. Who was that kid? What was his name?
Right. I mean, the last time.
So he's saying that we're not an apathetic. You know, we do. We're just as.
That was pretty powerful. Yeah, that was pretty. You know, to think about it, he was right. And you know, it's funny that the people who are against the Occupy Wall Street people or student protesters in England, you know, they try to dismiss them and say, "Oh, what did I just want? Something for free? I want something." These are kids already in college, dumb fuck. They're already there. They're protesting the fact that tuition has doubled in the last 6 years at UC Davis. And they want to be able to... These are veterinary students. These are science students. These aren't fucking bums.
Yeah, I think people like to generalize everybody. It's like when it comes to protesters, why don't you just go situation by situation and see if it's necessary or, they're just... You know, I can see, but I know some... Oh my God, what a perfect thing.
You know what? Go ahead.
Let me get this out. I think a lot of people do this. Are there some protesters you can go, all right, I'm not really in, I think they're wrong or whatever. Yeah, but take situation by situation. And to me, what this story that I'm about to tell is proof that certain people don't. One time I was standing on the corner and there was some protesters up ahead. And of course it caught my attention. It always does. I go, what's going on over there? And a guy goes, they're protesting. And I go, oh, what are they protesting? He goes, I don't know. Shut the fuck up.
Yes.
And now, if that was just one dumb guy, who cares, Todd? You're gonna that guy represents a lot of other people. Oh, they're protesting. I don't know what, but I know it's fucking hippies. Fucking hippies trying to get a free fucking granola bar. Anyway, Mike, you have anything you'd like to say? You heard it. Oh, Jimmy?
No. Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
No.
I really don't know anything about it.
You're stupid.
Oh, you dummy.
I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to sound smart. Do you want to know my opinion? Do you guys want to know my opinion about this? Is that I think it's all right. I think that kid's okay.
What?
Greek?
I work on Conan O'Brien.
No. What I want to say, I'll tell you what I really think.
Go ahead.
Is I think that kid's all right.
Mike Komen. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Todd Glass Show. Here we go.
Hey, this is Chris Burden, sound guy for the Todd Glass Show. I just wanted to wish you all a merry, happy holidays and whatever else you're into.
Happy holidays from the Todd Glass Show.
You know, it would have been...
I love that he left it.
First, it's very funny, and it would have been even better if the jingle guy said, merry shit, happy
You know what? We're going to get him to do it. Watch what happens when people give me jingle suggestions. I listen. I don't fight jingle suggestions.
But make sure you cut this part out so people don't anticipate it. When it happens, they think, just, you know.
Okay, is this the holiday show or do you
this
do
is,
more?
We'll do the whole month. And okay. Jimmy, can I say something to both of you? You're Sharpie dressers.
Oh,
Sharp dressers.
I'm a black Sharpie dresser.
You are. You dress good. You're that's what they should call it, the new, like when you dress like good, they go, that guy's a Sharpie dresser.
So
you literally just made a face like my mom if she made a joke at Thanksgiving, kind of like her tongue came out of her mouth a little bit, and a little head wag.
Bobby Collins does the tongue out of her mouth.
Barack wants to extend the payroll tax cuts. The Republicans wants to pay for it by taking out of Medicare. You know what'll fix this? Super committee.
Audible.com.
That's a political joke.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do
Todd,
this.
I got to get a crew like this at my show. This is great.
It's fun, isn't it?
It makes it more fun. There's like an audience. You know if it's funny right away.
I know, and they're look at them.
That's the worst part about a podcast. You never know how funny it is.
Well, you know what? Sometimes it's good not to have the people there, but like the people that come here are always like some week somebody brought a friend of a friend of a friend's, and they were behind me,
uh-huh.
And they weren't laughing at everything or even looking interested, and I go, oh my God, I'm performing for like an audience now. Every 2 minutes, I'd be like, Jerry over there. I use Jerry for every go-to name, not Jerry Seinfeld, but whenever I'm that guy's Jerry, because I got tired of using Bob. Remember how Bob would be?
Yes.
Oh, two guys never danced together. Hey, Bob. Yeah. Rodney, I have this thing. It's just silly. Can we play it? This is Rodney telling his band, like, they would get this, obviously, in the mail. I would say back then it was probably a tape.
Before we play the Rodney thing, because mm-hmm. I think anything will sound not funny after that.
That, by the way, that was a compliment, everybody, not an insult. No, I think it sounded...
I want to just get this out.
Weren't you a professional? Isn't that what your thing was? You would say your best ability was you would say compliments, but you managed to make them sound like insults.
Yeah.
And it was a passive aggressive thing you were doing, which you're sorry you did, you said, when you were.
Yeah. You know, Todd, you do that really, you know, not as shitty as most people, though. The way you just.
And he would throw people for a loop. So
I'm sorry that I just do it. Yeah, sometimes I have a tick. And
what were you going to say? Go ahead.
I was
before the Rodney thing. Go ahead.
And so I played that call for some people. And
hello, is Jimmy Dore there?
When I called the UC Davis Police Department, and I was so I got to the point where I actually yelled at the guy, and he was the senior.
Oh, yeah.
He was the senior information officer, and I just wanted him to tell me what his policy was when you're confronted with peaceful students protesting. Is it to use violence and chemical weapons? And he wouldn't answer that question. And I actually got to the point where I screamed at him, and I go he goes, well, it sounds like you've made up your mind. And I go, this isn't about me making up my mind. This is about what your goddamn policy is. And I'm screaming, right? So when some people heard that, they go, wow, you really get worked up, huh? And I'm like, well, normally, I save getting upset for, if they're going to build a new football stadium or did Kobe have a good night last night. But something about when I see state-sanctioned violence against peaceful protesters on a college campus, it gets me a little riled.
Yeah, why would somebody...
I'm fucked up like that.
Even if they disagreed with you, like if somebody was saying they should have peppered them, I'd never go, you really get riled. Well, I get you disagree with me, but I get you're passionate about it.
Oh, yeah, you get worked up. Yeah, I get a little riled. Yeah. I don't know.
Don't be... Don't be proud that what you don't get work
but
done.
But I'm amazed that right now you were able to get him on the phone. It seems like
I know.
More well, let, pressing.
Okay, here's the I'll just give you this part I left out. When I called the police department, three times the guy said he transferred me to an answering machine. Well, the fourth time I called, I got a woman who was more, I think, sympathetic to this student's plight. So she transferred me directly to the head of the department's answering voicemail. So I got her cell phone number.
Oh, wow.
So that's how this all happened. So that and that the,
we should bring in the tape. I mean,
well, he has his own show.
Oh, okay. I'm sure.
You know
not.
What? I might have it on my phone. Let's play Rodney and then
I don't want to trespass on Jimmy's territory is in political comedy, but I do have a joke I think is related to the current climate.
Sure.
I cannot go to Congress. And you just have to ask me why.
Why can't you go to Congress?
I'm allergic to nuts.
Michael, that's not. That's got to be honest with you. That's a little.
That's more just silly. That's
thank you. I'm laughing because it's not at you, but that's
well, I think
like,
we might
know,
have. I think
on.
We have different like we see yeah. things like, different
Mike,
depths
Mike, you
to our political.
Hold
I'm not as angry as.
Hold
you.
Hold on, we had this happen on the last show. Let's not get on different pages. You do see the difference in some of Jimmy's comments and how they're well thought out. You're doing like a joke, like a. You wouldn't want to.
No,
go to-
Todd. Actually, I don't. I'm not happy with the administration right now, and I think I think that these guys are clowns.
It just seems so sophomoric. You know, like can you go over there the cowbell? Can you go to the cowbell and put the stick in it and then bing it back and forth after you say that? Like, don't you? Do you think I'm going to play a cowbell? You say the same thing you just said. Tell me if you think if I play the cowbell after one of Jimmy's jokes, the audience doesn't buy it because they're like, well, that was a well thought out joke. Why would he get a cowbell? Say what you said again about the nuts. And just go back. Bing.
Well, I have an even more astute, I think, observation about what these guys are doing in Washington.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, every time I'm around Washington D.C., I think it's at the top of the hour.
Why?
Well, because I keep hearing the same thing: cuckoo, cuckoo.
I think that sounds.
What's
better.
That? The good point, bell.
I love that somebody goes, that's where I'll go political here. This seems what they're doing today. You know what? I like it.
I get the style of this show.
Jimmy?
There were parts of the Borscht Belt where that was the good point, Bill. A lot of people don't know that.
What? Say that again?
There were parts of the Borscht Belt where that was the good point, Bill.
No, it wasn't. Oh.
Am I even saying that right? Borscht Belt? How do you say it? I never.
The Borscht Belt?
Borscht?
Borscht.
Michael's dad was a Borscht Belt comic.
Yeah.
What?
We'll talk about it when we come back. No, he wasn't. All right, here's what I want to do. I am going to take a little break because there's a few things I want to set up. And then when we come back, we'll start with playing Rodney's thing that the band would get. I would imagine they got it back then on a tape.
Oh,
at the end of his career on a CD.
Yeah,
but maybe on a, I keep giving every scenario.
When
so
he
we're
first started, it was a Victrola.
Yeah, Victrola. And
up to an Edison.
Go ahead.
I'm done.
It was good. Better than I could come up with. VHS, tape, CD, dat.
Beta.
Fan. Oh, I'm Sharpie tonight.
You go on.
All right, listen. So we're going to take a break, and then we're going to set up a few things, and then we're going to come back. We'll play the Rodney thing. Okay, go ahead. What do you have to play? Hold on. Pause that. Before we go to break, you see this
How
music?
Do you think the show's going, by the way, so far?
I'm happy.
Okay, good.
I'm happy. I think I'm happy.
Okay, good.
I really do. I'm enjoying myself. Okay. You know what I said in the... I don't want to repeat myself. I don't want to talk about the podcast. I'll talk about the podcast on the podcast if I want. This guy can't stop me.
Okay.
I'm going to have a silence protest against him. I'm going to turn on these mics one week and not say a thing for an hour to teach him a lesson.
Here, ask...
I wouldn't really do anything. Could you play with your mic a little more, Jimmy? I like to hear. Want me to move my mic over to your mic so I can amplify you
moving
it?
Well, if you get the nice mics, you can't hear all of it.
How dare you? Oh, my God. I knew you were coming here for a reason to get even.
Get even? What did you do to me?
Oh
I don't even know
God,
it yet.
Shut up. Go look at your car. No, what were you going to say? I know I'm all over the place, everybody.
Oh, here. You asked me. This is how I was in my mind when I asked you. Like, this is what I most hope, like, you get that you how you would answer as opposed. Okay, so this is what I was hoping. This would be like the dream scenario how you would have answered it. But I still have hope, like maybe 1%. So go ahead.
Oh, Jim, hey, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
And I'm me now?
Uh-huh.
How do you think the show's going?
Great! great. Great. It's great. You're funny. You're really good. I'm saying it's the best show I've done, and I don't know why.
You know what, though? I thought I gave it. Like, I meant it that way when I said it. But you're right. Let me do it again. Ask me again.
Okay. Hey, how's the show going?
Are you fucking shitting me?
No.
No, are you fucking shitting
me?
No,
I'm not.
You got to be fucking shitting me. Because this is the best fucking show I've had. Are you fucking shitting me that you have to ask?
Oh.
Mike's having fun. I feel like it's a good... I feel like
I'm insecure, that's all.
No, you're... Jimmy.
That's
fuck
right.
That shit. You're the fucking best. Fuck it. Take a call.
Hello?
Jimmy. Hello.
Hi.
This is Mike Coleman's mother.
Hi. How are you, fatty?
Oh, you're fucking the best.
Oh, thank you. Do you...
Oh, I love you. You're great.
You've got quite a mouth on you.
Let's take Blake Wexler's mom.
Oh, my God. I'm home naked touching my pussy.
Oh.
All right.
Oh. Does his mom listen? She a listener?
I don't know. I don't even know why I have to go there. Because it makes me laugh. That's funny. Like, who would say that? Like, his mom's... For anyone that didn't think that's funny, stop listening to the show. Not like in a dickish way. Because I'd be a dick if I went, I don't care if people like the show. Obviously, we want people to like what we do. But we also want to do what we think is funny. That made me laugh. Like his mom would ever call in.
Hey, I'm home touching my pussy.
Why? To me, it's funny. All right, so we're going to...
Maybe his mom's really funny.
She is funny.
Maybe she knows.
Oh, you mean she would do that? Like, that's true. That takes the fun out of it, though.
Yeah.
I like her when she's just horny. She's horny and unaware. That's where it's funny to me. Like, if she was really that funny to call in, that's like something. That's something Sarah Silverman would do if she right. was. If she had a kid and they were on a radio show, she'd go,
Sarah Silverman, I'm touching my pussy.
Because she would get the ridiculousness of it. But this woman is just horny and bored, and she calls in the station.
Unaware.
And then later, Blake goes, Mom, what are you doing? Oh, stop it. Now that I'm single, I'm having fun.
Relax, I was horny.
Well, Mom, you can't call up a station. I work on that show.
I was horny.
You are not going to run my life anymore.
But you do understand that you can't call and I work on that show. That was mortifying.
Your mother has a pussy. Get used to it.
Oh, my God, I can't believe Dad. I thought you were going to flip out. And
your mother was horny.
I don't know who's the woman and who's the...
I have no idea what's going on.
When we do bits on the show and someone has to be the woman, we always forget that there's a, you know...
We could all play the mom, I thought. I thought we were both playing the mom.
Well, I just like the idea that... Like, I just like horny being an excuse for anything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was horny. Like, they're... Like, you. Yeah, I get it. But you don't say that.
Your Honor, my client was horny when she stole the ass.
Okay. We're going to... It would throw everybody off, or at least
yeah. That's all you need is to get the jury talking.
There's horny. You're horny.
I can relate to that.
All right, listen. Just to let you know that I've driven this show. We got a little bit all over the place, but it's fun. Now what we're going to do is we're going to reference something you were talking about, and that'll lead us into commercial. I think what they should do at a lot of these rallies, and I found this song last week. It's a tra-la-la song. Hire this guy to sing around them. And then it'll bring peace to everybody, or they'll go because it'll annoy them. So everybody,
right.
And then we'll do it for like 5 seconds. We won't go. We won't. And then they'll play this, and then we'll just take it in the commercial. Okay, here we go. So remember the protesters, and they're over there. They go out there, start singing. We got the PA. Here we go.
We won't go. We won't go. We won't go.
I don't know if they still yell this, but.
We go. We won't go. We won't go.
We No. Not that one. Not that one. We got to do it right. You know what I learned on the show? Stop it and do it right. And you're all good.
This the song to get them? This song gets them to leave?
Maybe it gets them to leave, or maybe it entertains them. When we come back, we'll talk about what you think it would do.
Or it just makes them move.
Right. And by the way, let me make sure I listen to what you say. A lot of times people say things, I'm going where I'm going, and I don't listen. What did you just say?
Well, the song, this is a song, it makes them move.
It makes the move. That's what I'm hoping. Okay. So a lot of times in the show, I used to think, shit, I stop. We take the time to set the bit up right. And I think the audience is going to agree. The tra-la-la guy that I found online has music with him. But I had Lynn record a new tra-la-la without music because that's what it would sound like. If we want this bit to sound real, that guy's having a nervous breakdown right now. Oh, he's talking about the podcast. Oh, and then the podcast, and then the podcast, and then I do the podcast. And then I do it. And then I, like, in the podcast, I thought I could make the podcast. And next year, I want the podcast to be. And I tell you what, I know I'm growing. Everybody, come on. I'm on the podcast. You know, this is what I do on my podcast.
I'll tell you something else. 1987 was a shit year.
Yeah, and I'm then on the podcast. You eat in the background, Jimmy. Eat in the background. So anyway, I just want the podcast to be this. And then I'm going to have guests on the podcast. I want the podcast to be serious. It's got to be serious. And sometimes it's silly. I can't stand people to go, oh, your podcast was silly last week. That's what I fucking do on my podcast. It's my podcast. My podcast podcast. All right, so they're out there. We won't go. We won't go. We won't go. We won't go.
We'll go.
We'll go.
Okay.
We'll go.
Okay, that's cool. We're going to go.
We're going to go. We're going to go.
Hey, listen, I got a thing anyway.
Yeah, you know, oh my God, I even forgot my, I got the money in the meter. I had to put money in the meter. We'll go. You going?
Yeah. You know what?
We're going to go.
I got a job.
Yeah, we'll go. We'll go. We'll go. We're fine.
We're gonna go.
No, put your pepper spray away. And then the cops come in. Oh, fuck, they're going. Get the pepper spray out quick before they go.
Hey, we're leaving, asshole.
Na 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 na.
Why I really like that Tra La La song. Did you you ever hear it, Jimmy?
I that was the first time for me. I had to leave almost.
It's a guy online and he sings Tra La La. Me and Jimmy were just talking before we started the show about the first time he smoked pot during the day.
Yes.
You know, after that, you were still a nighttime smoker.
Yeah.
And you were with...
I was with Daniel Kino in Tempe, Arizona, and we were going to lunch, breakfast, and but it was like at noon or 1 o'clock, and he goes, yeah, I got some Maui Waui. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't think of a reason why not to take some. And then, you know, ever since then.
And it was fun.
It was, we had, of course, it was fun.
And then...
Getting high during the day is so much different than being high at night.
Well, I've probably gotten high, I have gotten high during the day, just not normally. It's like, yeah. But one time with you a while back, and I remember, you know how we always think everyone knows we're high?
Yeah.
The two stories I tell, one was we were in Atlantic, we were in Vegas, and we're sitting at the bar, and Jimmy goes, this guy's staring at us. Staring at us. Like the guy knows we're high. Obviously, well, and then we're not sure. We think you're high, so stop thinking this. And then the guy's staring at us. At one point, I go, no. And Jimmy turns to me. I'm thinking it, but I let it go because you're probably just high. Jimmy goes, what's this guy, the high police? And I went, he is fucking staring at us. But then Jimmy goes, no, I'm high too. We both could be wrong. And
we were just being paranoid. Some guy's staring at us.
So after that happened, I knew, stop it. Not everybody knows. So we're at the ice cream place in Irvine, and we're getting ice cream during the day, and we both smoked, and we were eating that ice cream. And the guy behind the counter, the kid, he's probably like 17, he goes, are you guys high?
No kidding.
We're like, how did you fucking know?
Really?
So there was a case where, yes, we were... Oh, eating that ice cream like it was fucking just wonderful. And it was. Think of our taste buds. They were just ready to explode, and then we're giving them like the most delicious thing in the world.
Sugar and fat. Is there anything better?
That was my first CD. Yeah. So anyway, that's that. So anyway, here's the Rodney thing. Hey, look, I think if you're a comedy fan. Now, we also had another interesting conversation. We talked about when you're rolling clips during the show, sometimes when you're looking at each other in here, it just seems like... And this is a great example of that because I listened to the whole thing. It's an entirety when I first heard it about a week ago. I thought, because I'm a huge Rodney fan and the whole production of the show, and that Rodney probably had a lot of trouble getting the band to learn it. So he made this thing, and it's pretty crystal clear what he wants from that band.
Uh-huh.
But you know they fuck it up still. And he goes, God damn it, you fucking shit. Did they get that? And he'd be right. It doesn't. I'm not making him a monster. I give him the thing, the CD. They still fuck it up. The fuck is the matter, huh? I tell him right on the CD, when I'm done that joke, boom, come in with volume. And this motherfucker's over there. He doesn't even fucking play it. What the fuck? How much clearer can I make it, you know? Jesus Christ. I tell him right on there. I play the song, upbeat. You played it like a dead bunch of shit.
You're right, Mr. Dangerfield. You're
well,
right.
But I don't want to be right.
You're right, anyway, Mr. Dangerfield. You're not right.
It's like that Paul Anka thing that got out and the Buddy Rich.
Remember the Paul Anka thing?
Yeah. So, Mike, I'm putting you in charge of when you go, all right, we get the gist of it. It's enough. And that might be fine if it's a minute in. Here we go. Play that motherfucker.
This is Rodney. After video was shown, 3.5 minutes, there was a drum roll. On drum roll, I'm off stage. I will say line, I tell you, I don't get no respect at all. Immediately, drummer stops roll, and band picks up music, letter A, while I make my entrance. Band plays till I give you a direct cutoff. The music is always played loud, fast, and high energy, like this.
I love this. This is, I can listen, yeah.
It sounds like he's holding the tape recorder up to the record player.
Yeah.
Which I love it. All right.
After cutoff, relax for 40 minutes until cue.
Pause it. The reason I love that, we just paused it, obviously, is because, oh, I'm so glad you love that. Because I thought that that's, first of all, this is why I love, like, I would love to travel with a band, but I always think, you know what, they do that intro, then pretty much I'm done with them for a while, but I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, and the band comes in, the drums come in. But this proves it's all right. Do my intro. Take a fucking 40-minute nap.
Relax for 40 minutes.
Yeah. It's like there's a lot to learn, but then you got 40 minutes to to listen to this tape so you know what to do when I'm fucking done.
But that's step two.
What?
Step two is relax for 40 minutes.
Yeah. Relax for 40 minutes. All right. Yeah. I'll tell you what.
Step two, take the night off.
Yeah. Step two, go in a fuck home and take a check, you pricks. All righty. You both could have done better.
Let's hear the rest of it.
Chops. I never got any. About a minute before the cue, you'll hear some Polish lines as a warning.
Wait, why is that funny? I'm sorry.
I think it's just that's... It's just that's... Those are the instructions for their job.
But it's not... It's
you'll hear some Polish lines as a warning.
I think it's also that he knows himself. He knows his act
God,
so well.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah, when I skipped upon it...
Oh, my God!
All right, so play more. And by the way, I want to just make sure we're listening to this. We are all gigantic Rodney fans. This is almost... We're not laughing at Rodney, obviously. We're just I don't even need to say this, do I?
No.
Play it. Thank
Before
you.
Before the cue, you hear some Polish lines as a warning. The line directly before Q is I appeal to everyone who can do me absolutely no good. After Q, headshots. I never got any. Band picks up very softly, let it be, in this tempo.
I love it.
Dum, 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 dum. This continues for about 30 seconds while I do no respect jokes. After last joke, which is, I was in a Chinese restaurant. They named a dish after me. One dumb fuck. Afterward, fuck.
Pause it. After the word fuck. Oh, I love what a life. Think of some other boring person at his age, right? And then Rodden, even though he had a late start, just think that's part of his job to go, hey, after I say you dumb fuck, do your job. All right, I say fuck, and you travel around with instruments so you can highlight my fuck joke. Don't fuck it up.
This is an art.
Yeah, and he's right.
He is right.
Shows you why he's so great. Mm-hmm. He just knows his business
well,
so well.
I remember, what's great about hearing this is I remember the first time I saw Rodney, and I remember loving the ending. Like, that there was I always liked the idea of music and then with the comedy, and he didn't sing or anything really, but he'd do his whole act. Then all of a sudden he'd start doing, I'll tell you, I don't get any respect. The crowd goes nuts, and you hear the band, bum, 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 bum. I'll tell you the other day. And he's killing the whole show. But then it brings it home like a motherfucker because there's a bed of music behind it. And it's building.
And
it's
it bigger
building.
Than life.
Yeah, and it's building. And all of a sudden, crescendo, boom. And he goes, I'll tell you. And he gets more and more animated by every joke in this minute period. By the end of it, he's like really pulling his collar. I'll tell you, you know. And it's fucking boom. So to hear this thing, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's everything I heard. There's more stuff coming up. Go ahead. Play that. I'm a little excited.
Afterward, fuck. Band goes immediately to letter A for bows. Keep playing letter A while I go off stage, come back and take bows. Play till I cut you off.
I just think it's so great that he goes, after the word fuck is when I take my bows.
Oh, it's great.
Okay, go ahead.
It's also like he has no... It's weird because he's such a naturally... He's like the funniest man, but he has no room for spontaneity. Like he doesn't want... anything unsurprising to happen in his comedy
but
shows. It's
you
like
know
kinda,
what, though?
I'm surprised.
I love it. I love that. I love the spontaneity, but I love that because you know what, when you hear, I always heard
maybe
the word timing, you know, in your whole career, we all know what timing means. We got it in first day in comedy. But I will tell you the truth. After I saw Rodney the first time I went, I didn't know what the fuck timing was. I knew what it meant. And I knew, you know, but it was like, oh, it was just brilliant to the, you know, the specific, you know, word at a certain time. And then the music would come in. It was like just so planned out. But yet here's the, you know what? Let me just say one more thing. There's such a difference between phony and I know you're not saying this. I'm defending.
No,
it.
I mean, to me, I think it's that he like it's it was like perfect yeah. for him.
There's
like,
a difference. Yeah. There's a difference between when I see a performer fake laugh at their own joke. I see it amongst comedians sometimes, and I also see it amongst entertainers. Like if you go to see a huge singer and they go, you know, oh, where's my hair gone? You don't have to act like you can say it without laughing. The crowd will laugh. You don't have to act like it's the first time you thought of it. Some singers do it. Some comedians do it. There's a difference between that and then what Rodney's doing, which is just like, yeah, I'm not, you know, faking. I'm a little confused.
No, I saw David Copperfield one time and a guy in the front row, David Copperfield's doing patter and he looks down and he goes, hold on. And then he bends down and he picks up a pair of binoculars and he points to the guy's like, he had binoculars in the front row. And it was and like at 12,
oh my
it was like,
God,
you
I saw him
piece
do that at a show
shit.
Too.
Yeah, everyone. You, there's no way that just happened. Like you'd be.
That was a plant?
Like, it was a plant, but it was also like a piece of garbage. Like it's a magic show. Like you don't need to stop and do it and trick us into thinking you're
being
funny.
Spontaneous.
Yeah, that you're spontaneously funny.
Right, because you can do you can do the same joke every night. Just tell it. Like you've told it before.
Exactly.
Let the audience laugh.
Just tell a funny joke.
Don't try to give it the cadence that I just thought of this because it's mind maddening. I saw somebody but completely different what Rodney's doing. You might see it might be the same thing every night, whatever their joke is, and they have to act like they've said it, you know, okay, so let's finish this Rodney thing.
Off stage, come back and take bows. Play till I cut you off. I'm now in my encore. I'm talking about 2 or 3 minutes until next cue. The next cue is when I say, but I tell you, it's really a thrill to be here with my group. Afterward group, band plays very softly, let us see, while I talk above you. Band plays, let us see, about 30 or 40 seconds until cue, to me, they're fucking idiots. Band stops immediately. I will then say to audience, you don't believe me, huh? I then turn to band and say, tell them what you are. The band stands up immediately and yells out loud, we're fucking idiots! And then sits down.
I think,
boy. This is so sweet.
Because, you know what, I remember that happening and I thought, this band, you know, they're happy to getting paid and they know it's funny and it's Rodney, but still, you know, these guys, the bands that he hires, they look like parodies of old guys. Like, these guys look like they can barely get out to their chairs sometimes, and then they all have to stand up. Hey, I'm not being disrespectful. They know what they are. And the four guys in the band with tuxes would all stand up and go, we're fucking idiots, Rodney. They know what they are.
And you know those guys couldn't wait
to
do
that.
I would think so. How thrilling. You know what that's like, Todd? Todd, that's like how, like, right now the Republicans are only going to cut the payroll tax. But what they want to do is they want to get a pipeline and relax environmental standards at the same time. Hey, why don't we lower the drinking age? Oh, I forgot the punchline. There's a lot of movement happening.
Oh, my God, there's carolers.
Wait, can I tell you one story about Ronnie Dangerfield?
Yeah. Guys, I know you came by. How y'all doing?
Good.
They came by to do a Christmas song. There's carolers in the neighborhood. But let's hear your Rodney story.
Oh,
then we'll
no, it's
them...
just about how much I love Rodney Dangerfield, which when I was in high school, I would listen to his tape over and over and over again. And I think I was like 15 or 16, and I was with a girl who I had a big crush on in high school. And it wasn't a date, but we were just hanging out after school. And I was trying to think of something funny to say, and so I thought I just wanted, I'll tell a Rodney Dangerfield joke. But I didn't, like, credit Rodney Dangerfield with the joke.
I did that.
And I didn't, like... So I just said, well, you know, I only get women because of who I am, a rapist. And then
you thought that would be a good...
I thought she'd think that was so funny because I thought it was funny. And then that didn't work. And then when I said, then I tried to, like, boringly explain who Rodney Dangerfield was. That didn't impress her.
Oh, that is priceless.
You know, like,
I love out of all jokes because that's a funny joke.
That's like how,
and
when,
you would think like that,
right?
But in all fairness, you realized as it was coming out of your mouth, it is a rape joke.
It was a rape joke, but I think I was trying to think of it like, oh well, I'll talk about how I don't get girl. I don't know what I was thinking, but it was just like this will like really be playing it cool as I'm talking about.
That is so. That's how like when they gave Barack the Peace Prize,
right?
And even though he hadn't done anything yet, and then he gets the Peace Prize, and then he immediately starts bombing, ramps up the war in Afghanistan, starts bombing Libya, and puts out a hit on Osama bin Laden. And that's the thing about those peace prizes. Nobody ever tries to win a second one.
That's not really what we were talking about. But anyway.
Well, that's kind of what we were talking about.
Well, it seems a little bit.
It's kind of. I know it seems like I'm shoehorning that in, but it's real. I'm really not.
Where's the good point, though, when you.
Let me ask you a question. That girl that you went on a date with?
Yeah.
You fucked that shit? Guys, take it away. They have music with them? Can I tell you something? That was great. I liked it. It felt good. It feels like Christmas in here. You guys were great. Now get the fuck out of my studio. That's what you said to Caller. What are they called? That was
Carolers.
Great. The only reason I told Andrew not to yell at the end, so you know, I thought, no, this sounds too good. I don't want you to yell. That's going to make it on the first special that we do. Sit down. All right. That was fun, right?
It was fun, and I got to do all the jokes that I couldn't do on that segment today. That I got to, and I think I put them. I think they really kind of fit in naturally.
Jimmy, we've been friends a long time,
uh-huh.
And then I know Blake is a huge fan of Mike's, and wanted to tell him something.
Seriously?
So, and then we'll probably wrap up the show like that tonight.
Okay. Oh,
and then and then Dimitri Martin's coming in. So, Jimmy. By the way,
can I just say that my show, yes. The Jimmy Dore Show, which is a newsy comedy show that I do as a podcast. It was some guy who does a blog in Kansas City put me in his top 5 favorites, so I don't know who that guy is or anything, but I just thought I'd mention that.
You know what? It's nice.
I got it on my Facebook page. I put it up immediately. I don't know. Some guy has a blog. Never heard of him.
Doesn't matter.
Some guy likes me. I don't give a shit.
As much as I might complain when they write, you know, things that I don't like, when they write things I like, I forgot to say this. There's that guy who feels that way about the show. But I'm about to tell you the listener I want. In one of the jingles, Lynn, he went, and the Todd Glass Show will be right back. He's going out to get a gum and a cookie. It made me laugh. A gum and a cookie. But I remember when I heard it, it just made me laugh. Like, he's singing it. He couldn't think of anything. A gum and a cookie. Made me laugh. Some guy writes on there, a gum and a cookie. That's the fucking listener I want. That's the guy that gets the show.
Yes.
And I thought about that. I read it today because I thought, what a weird thing for this guy, wherever he lives, sitting in his headphones going, made him laugh too. So thank you. I love you. And keep listening.
Gum and a cookie.
Gum and a cookie. And we should get the jingle right in here and put it in. Like right now in post, we'll get the jingle so people know, like, oh yeah, just he jammed it in there. Couldn't think of anything. A gum and a cookie with bad diction. Did you have anything else you wanted
to... Yeah, what would be some of the negative things people would write about Brian Regan on iTunes? Like, hey, why does he have to be funny all the time?
Yes.
What is he, insecure?
Turn it off.
Why has he always got to be so funny?
Turn it off.
Most comedians can space their jokes out. He's just got to be funny all the time.
Yeah,
that's
what I want.
There's more life than jokes.
Yeah, by the way, yeah, I love to go to a comedy club and leave with a headache because I can't stop laughing. That's why I went to a comedy show, to get a headache.
Todd, I laughed so hard the other day. My friend made me laugh so hard on the phone. That literally I had a back spasm and I couldn't, I thought, I was like, oh my God, I have to go to the hospital, and a little shit came out. And
Who was it? Give him credit.
Mike McRae. He was. He does these impressions that are just hilarious. And he was doing. He does an impression of Rick Perry, which is. Rick Perry was calling out a guy at a press conference the other day, and he goes, "You, sir, with the beautiful beard."
Ooh, he's desperate.
Yeah.
Kiss
yeah.
babies. This guy's going to be sucking dick for a book.
Do you know what docking is?
Hello, it's Jimmy Dore there.
We have people. Well, here's what we have to do. We're going to take one call. And then, Jimmy, is there anything you need to plug? This is sort of our wrap-up, because I thought it would be nice, because Blake is a huge Mike fan, and he wanted to just, you know.
It really I do appreciate it.
So anyway, is there anything else? Hold on 1 second. Is there anything else? Jimmy, anything to plug? You plugged your thing.
People like to see my shows or listen to my shows. You can go to JimmyDoreComedy.com.
And then comedy and everything else?
There's a podcast that you used to do with me
and
Steph.
Yes, I used to do.
And then you left, so now it's just me and Steph.
Let me tell you something. I miss...
So,
oh my God, what's happening?
Okay,
you don't have to apologize. You do a great job, Katie. I want to thank you for getting me. Okay, this is the wrap up, and then we're going to do this thing with Blake. You're going to get a chance to do this. Thank you for sending Shannon Lee, the therapist, my way, Katie. That was the most awesome find. I think people haven't heard it yet. Okay, people haven't heard that yet, right? Oh no, they will have heard it.
No.
This drops on Tuesday, so that's...
No, Friday.
This drops on Friday?
Yeah.
Oh, so they'll have heard this.
When's that one going up?
Probably this week. We'll talk about it. Maybe they've heard it, maybe they haven't.
They probably haven't heard it yet.
Maybe they haven't heard it yet. Okay, so I finally had a therapist in. I made it a separate show, because you know what? I don't mind if we drift into some serious stuff in the silliness, but that was just all serious.
Right.
We dealt with it in a silly way, but an anti-spanking therapist.
Oh, good.
It was...
It would be weird to find a pro-spanking therapist, but they're out there.
We talked about it. They're few and far between.
But they're out there.
But there are some. And, you know, she said it's because, well, we talk about it on the show, but that's exactly what we talked about. I'm so glad I didn't forget to ask her that. So anyway.
Oh, when does that show drop?
Me and Katie are going to talk about it after we're done.
Okay.
but it'll be soon. So there's that.
Did you have on the king also to stick it in his ass?
No, I didn't. The next show I want to have is somebody that heard it and went, she doesn't know what she's talking about. Here's why it's better. You know what? Let me just, can I tip it a little with something she said? In essence, I wanted to hear the other side of it. I want her, because I wanted her, the best of her ability, to do a therapist that believes in spanking.
Like to do a devil's advocate?
Yeah, like, come on. Like, you don't have to agree with it, but can you try to get into their head? You must have heard people defend it, and you must. She just basically said, and it's sort of, I felt good because it mirrored something I had sort of thought. She goes, say it, be the therapist. And she basically said, I want to tell you why if you spank your kids, it makes them, sort of like what we've said, better people. Why it works. Yeah, I know there's other ways, but here's why this works better. It sounds silly, doesn't it? I go, yeah. She goes, because it is. Right. And we basically just said on the podcast, well, people will hear it.
Okay.
Anyway, so I was all, you know, don't, okay, there's that. So that's it. Thanks a lot, Mike. Mike, you're going to be here with Dimitri also.
Oh, yeah.
And Andrew Furtado, who is he's going to be back, folks. Then him. Well, we're not getting rid of Chris, but Andrew, thanks for singing the carolers. That was Andrew Furtado, Blake Wexler, and Chris. I can never... Burden and Mikey, his friend. That was their Christmas carol. I thought you guys did a good job.
Yeah, you guys were great.
I think it sounded good. I'm going to give it an A+. So, Blake?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, you know, there's so much negativity in this world. When somebody is excited to meet somebody, I figured we'd just do it on the show, and then he had something he made for you.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, when we met last time, I was so impressed, and, you know, like, you're so funny, and Eagle Heart's so great.
Oh,
so
that's nice.
To show how big of a fan I am of yours and how much I appreciate you, I made you this candle.
Oh, my God.
In a sense.
That means a lot to me.
That is so nice. And I don't want to – this has happened before on this show, and I don't want to start – Blake,
what?
You're thinking the same thing I'm thinking. First of all, what we're about to say has nothing to do.
Well, Todd, I made him.
Hold on. That was with the kind words he said about you. Does it not make you feel good that someone feels that way about you?
No, honestly, I didn't expect something. I mean, I'm a writer. No one knows who I am, so that means a lot to me.
But where we're caught up is,
It does not. I don't really understand how you mean you made the candle.
In a sense, I made it in a sense.
Well, wait. Well, what do you mean you made it in a sense? You said you made it. Read back what he said. Hold on. Blake, you got it. What happened before can't happen again.
I made it
Blake,
in a sense.
Stop it. play it.
Are you playing it?
Yeah. So, Mike, it was a pleasure meeting you last time, and I didn't get a chance to give you this. I'm a huge fan of yours. I love your writing, and I think you're great. So I made you this candle. In a sense.
Well, he did say. But what does that mean in a sense?
Mike,
what do you mean, what does it mean? I appreciate what he fucking does.
No.
Make him a guy. Shut the fuck up, you nobody. You brought him back. You brought him back on the show after what you did last time. You read a 3-star review and not any of the 0-stars reviews from his fucking goddamn episode.
Blake?
Oh, yeah, I'll play devil's advocate for 45 minutes. Nobody knows my fucking name. That'll be enjoyable.
Blake, stop.
What are you pointing at?
No, I like
I think.
Shut up! Shut up! I've never seen Eagleheart! I can't imagine it's that fucking good! Nobody's seen it!
Blake, you gotta shut up and stop and for a second. Usually
Why?
You're not. Okay, first of all, is this still like you think it's like when people come on to the David Letterman show and they're allowed to
Are
yell at him?
Are you comparing yourself to David Letterman? Are you out of your fucking mind? This guy wrote a sketch during 4 years of experience at Conan, but he doesn't call himself Mark fucking Twain! All right? So why don't you shut your fucking mouth? You're going to make fun of my mom for being a whore? You're geriatric cunt of a goddamn old
Should you
mother.
Play...
This fucking nigga.
You want to play the Trollolo song?
My mom's out sucking cock.
Should we play the Trollolo song?
Let me tell you something, Blake.
What?
You're fucking totally out of control.
I'm not out of control.
No, you fucking listen to me.
I'm an unpaid intern getting fucking clear glasses for an alcoholic, and it's fucking wine. I don't have to do this shit. I have a college education,
Blake, you were...
Where'd
Blake.
You go to school?
Excuse me, Emerson College.
Oh.
Broadcast journalism.
Don't
go,
don't,
thank you.
Don't fight
Where'd
back.
Where'd you go to fucking
this
school?
This is my guest. This is my guest. And you cannot have outbursts like this. This is a fucking guest on my show. Do you have a mental problem?
No, do you have a mental problem booking him again after what he fucking did last time?
What did you do?
It's good radio. Oh, Todd, it's not good radio. I'm Mike Coleman. I'm going to disagree for the sake of it. His best credit is that he lived with your stupid fucking ass for 6 years.
That's not a bad credit. I would take that. What did you do last time, Mike? This kid's really, you really set him up.
This is not.
I just got a
I don't know if there's anything.
Citizen Jimmy was great.
Thank you.
But this is horse shit.
He loves you.
What do I have to fucking do to sit in this chair?
He does love you, so you're safe.
Well, say it, citizen.
He's not going to make pop and politics. I'll shut out $20 a week to go fucking see that show. Because he has a book guest. Like, what's his fucking face?
Blake, you have to stop. I'm going to wrap the show up, and I hate to do it on this note, but you owe me an apology.
$75 for fucking coming in here and buying them cups. You didn't even pay me back for them.
Blake, did I not, when you were 16 years old, come when I was in Philadelphia, treat you with respect and dignity when your friends came up to me after a show?
You
and I
made
let you
me come to your comedy show. I don't want to fucking go.
How did
hey,
I make...
Hey, Blake and your 17-year-old friends, let's take a ride to New Jersey. You cumped one of us. There are 5 of us. We were 3/4 of the fucking audience. You can't sell out in Cherry Hill, you piece of shit. Say it. Say something.
I think you're...
Oh my god, my dad used to do this thing when he was still alive. He used to smoke and make a weird
All right, Blake, my dad's passed away. You don't need to go there. My dad has passed away.
How many fucking CDs can you put on that joke?
Excuse me?
What?
I don't know what you're talking about.
How many CDs can you put that joke on?
One CD.
Two! Oh, Todd Glass, another vintage crap. I'm going to take shit that I did in the fucking 80s and put it on an album and release it in 2005.
Make
That's
that
great, Todd.
Make that 90s in post.
What? My voice cracked because I'm sick of yelling at your shit. What are you looking at, Todd?
Because honestly, do I have to bare my soul? You're serious. I could yell at you, but you've done this before. This crushes my soul when you talk to me with disrespect like this.
My soul? What soul do you have? You make people listen to this shit for 2.5 hours, and then you fucking do your little commentary about it. The show sucks.
You really think this show sucks?
Yeah, I fucking do, Todd. Keep reading the fucking reviews.
I don't know if this is a bit.
Else.
Is this
it's a fucking holy grail? And you left out to do this fucking piece of shit with a bunch of losers.
He's got a point.
Thank you,
Jimmy. Shut the fuck up.
No, I'm not.
gonna shut the fuck
don't
up!
You know,
you
Jimmy.
Fucking, you got a kid with a fucking college degree working for free, and this is the fucking shit how you treat him? With for fucking Mike Gomez?
Are the two of them, am I gonna sit between the two of you fucking idiots?
I've had it! You get this shit coming for a long time, motherfucker!
I've had it? We've been friends for a long time. You're agreeing with this guy? Jimmy, you know I love you more than anybody, and I'm not even saying that in some silly way. You're like a brother to me. You're gonna let this little fucking piece of shit intern.
Don't you raise your voice to him!
If this is the way you treated your brother, no wonder he's fucking dead.
Oh, you two, I tell you the truth.
I am Todd. Everyone in my family's dead. I'm going to do comedy. The Todd Glass Show, it's so fucking funny.
We'll take a break.
Thanks for the break. Thanks seriously though for the candle.
I made it.
Oh, now leaving Nerdist.com.